The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Time to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins. Tony spent 8 seasons in the NFL and now encourages high school kids to believe in their dreams as he tours the country to educate them about the college recruiting process, its sports, guests, and positive words. Now, here is Tony Collins along with co-host Bill Mattis.
Well, here is Bill Mattis, but Tony Collins is not going to be with us today, but don't be sad. Don't be sad. It's okay. I'll be here. I'm here the whole time, and even though you are getting a sickness-affected Bill Mattis today, you're still getting the best that's out there. And, I'm really happy to be here, as I always am. Today is January 9th. It's a Wednesday, as it always is. It's 12 o'clock here on the East Coast. We've got a great show for you today. Tony will be back next week, and I'm sure he'll pick up where he left off. And I do have Tony's picks coming at some point, and we'll be able to incorporate him into the whole challenge thing that we do every week. But, you know, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that the show must go on, and that's why I'm here. And I don't know how your week is like, but I think almost every household in America has at least one or two people sick at this point. It just seems like it's always happening this time of year. And our house has been affected. Last week, both my boys had some sort of sickness or cold or flu or whatever you want to call it. And Emma caught it. She's been sick, and Emma's mom's been sick. And ultimately, yep, yours truly finally got it. So I don't know if you hear it in my voice or if you can tell that my head is pounding, but it's affected me. But I'm gonna be just fine. So how was your week? We had a pretty interesting game occur. Well, before I get to that, let me just remind everybody, we also have two huge guests today, two great guests. One, NFL Hall of Famer Sam Huff is coming on with us. He'll be in segment three. And then for all you sports memorabilia junkies out there, we've got a guy named Jim DeCandolo who has a company named Mainline Autographs. And so if you're into that collectibles thing and the autographs thing and going to the shows and doing all the buying and selling stuff, you know, Jim's coming on in segment two and we'll be able to talk about that. And a lot of people that follow All Star Inc. because of the business that we are in, they're very interested in that kind of thing. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of positive feedback about this week's show. All right, back to the sports thing here. Monday night was a game, and it was Notre Dame and it was Alabama. And it was one of the most largely hyped games of the millennium, whatever, okay? And if you're a fan of the show and you've been listening since show one, and I'm not going to dwell too much on this because, you know, I do get tired of talking about how right I am from time to time. I had been saying all along that Notre Dame was a fraud. Okay? They're a good team. They're a good team. They're not number one. They're not even number two. They shouldn't even be number four. Okay? Yes, they played 9 bowl teams. Okay, but you're talking about teams like Navy, okay, Purdue, Pittsburgh, who they went to triple overtime with. Okay, if you're number one in the nation, you do not go to triple overtime at home against the University of Pittsburgh. Not this year, you don't. And that's why I had been saying all along, the system is somewhat flawed because Notre Dame's not even in a conference. If they had been in a conference and had to play the entire conference schedule like an SEC person does or like a Big East team has to do, you're going to play really good teams and you're going to play really bad teams. And that's what happens when you're in a conference. But, you know, because Notre Dame's Notre Dame and they get to do whatever they want and they get the big TV contract, well, They don't have to do that. Well, maybe it's time that they do that, because, you know, it was embarrassing to watch that game on Monday night. Manti Te'o, Manti Zero. That's what he was. He was invisible on Monday night. The difference between the two teams was astronomical. Okay. And, you know, what had happened, I guess, is that the 3-week layoff with all the hype that was going on, it just built up such a point that people started believing that maybe Notre Dame could win this game. Maybe it's possible. Maybe the luck of the Irish. No, no. Luck got you nowhere. And it was a mismatch. And the SEC once again proved that by far they are the most dominant conference in the land. And there's no reason to think that they're not going to be again. And why wouldn't you think Alabama might repeat next year? They are on such a roll. And until somebody knocks them off or knocks off the SEC, you got to hand it to them. I mean, there's just not much else you can do. But sorry, Notre Dame guys out there, and I know there's gazillions of you. And listen, I got clients that came from Notre Dame. Paul Horning, one of my best friends in the world. Great client, great guy. Sorry. Sorry. All right, and one other topic about that game that I did want to bring up that's kind of made me ill, and I'm probably going a direction you aren't expecting here. So the TV cameras pan to this young lady named Catherine Webb, who happens to be dating AJ McCarron. And Brent Musburger says stuff about the girl being very pretty and made a very funny joke about, he's sitting next to Kerb Herbstreit, who's ex-quarterback, going, hey, all you guys down in Alabama these days, go start throwing the football around right now, because you know what? You get to go to Alabama and be a quarterback. This is the kind of girl you're going to get. Now, he didn't say that exactly, but she's gorgeous, okay? He didn't say she was hot. She didn't say, I'd love to see her naked. He didn't say anything like that. But, man, I guess just because he's 73 years old, he's not allowed to do that. The media has gone crazy over this thing. And I'll tell you what, when I was sitting there watching, it was like 14-0 at the time. I'm watching this. I thought it was hilarious. You know, Brent is relevant. How about that? That's great. I thought it was funny. You know, he let everybody know she goes to Auburn, or his Auburn grad, which is kind of cool. The fact that she's dating an Alabama quarterback. You know, and now everybody, of course, is, oh, it's creepy. Well, guess what? If you think it's creepy, then you're creepy, because you're the one that's thinking the creepy thoughts. Okay? He was having fun. It was great. You know what? ESPN, you should be ashamed of yourselves for apologizing, okay, for Brent Musburger saying what he did. It's ridiculous. Give me a break. I mean, it's so silly. And you know what? I wish I could call Brent up right now and say, Brent, good job. Keep up the good work. Keep doing what you're doing, because that was funny. It was great. And you know what? He didn't make her look bad. He made her look great. Do you know that she's now got 175,000 followers on Twitter? I got 300. Okay. Maybe Brent needs to say something about me next time there's a game on. That'd be great. I love that. Anyway. All right. That's enough of that. Let's get to the NFL, because I've already droned on a little bit too long. But anyway. Last weekend, really great games, and we'll talk about how we did as far as our selections are concerned. And, you know, it was a lot of great action. All four games were very, very competitive, and, you know, I thought it was, you know, very interesting to see the outcomes. But, you know, the only one that really kind of surprised me was the Seattle game. I really thought that Washington had a chance to win that game. They came out and played really well in the first quarter, and here's my question. Okay, all you geniuses out there, put on your coaching hat. If your quarterback, who is your franchise player, who is your star, who is everything, okay, he hurts the knee and he has to wear a knee brace specifically designed to help that injury, are you going to call option plays? Are you going to call rollouts? Are you going to call bootlegs? Why did they do that? You know, I mean, it was enough for him just to hand the ball off and take a 3-step drop and throw. To make him run the field was stupid. And you know what? Everything that happened after the first quarter showed that that was a stupid decision. And of course it's hindsight, and I know the hindsight's 2020, but still, you know, I don't know why people haven't taken a harder look at that. And, you know, I'm really wondering, you know, who missed the boat there? And, it's unfortunate. This week we've got four great games coming up. Baltimore's at Denver, and, you know, Denver, they are really good right now. And you know, Baltimore had a very emotional win. They beat Indianapolis at home. Ray Lewis came back, and to see Ray come out of that tunnel was fantastic. And, you know, they were just so charged that I'm wondering if they're going to be able to rise to the occasion again next Saturday at 4:30 out there in Denver. You know, I'm sure the weather will be an interesting factor. And, you know, Peyton Manning, what else can you say? You really can't say a whole lot more about what we've already talked about. But the guy is a machine, and I think this is the end of the road for Baltimore. I think Denver handles him pretty well. Unless Flacco has an amazing day and Ray Rice goes nuts, I think you're going to see Denver advance to the championship game. That's the AFC championship. The late game on Saturday is Green Bay at San Francisco, and you know, I think a lot of people are starting to overlook San Francisco's chances here. They're all starting to jump on that Green Bay bandwagon. I know that Tony's been jumping on it, and rightfully so. Green Bay's a bunch of pros. They really know the game. They know what they're doing, and they're certainly a solid team, and they proved it again last week against Minnesota. But San Francisco, people, this is a good team. I'm telling you, it's a good team, and they're going to be ready for Green Bay. And I have a feeling San Francisco is going to win this game. So keep your ears out for that one. On Sunday, 1 o'clock, Seattle at Atlanta. Well, here's another one where I'm going to have to pick against Seattle. I'm just going to pick against them until they lose finally. But I like Atlanta at home. It may not be an easy game, okay? It's probably going to be a tough game. But I do like the fact that Atlanta's at home, and I think Seattle, again, emotional win. I'm not sure if they went back home or not, or if they went right from Washington to Atlanta, but going back and forth over the country, if they did that, that could be an issue. I just think that Atlanta has enough to win this game and advance. I think they still have they're going to continue to get better. They're going to be an amazing team next year too, so don't cry for them. But I think I'm going to have to pick Atlanta in that game. And then lastly, my co-host would be loving to talk about this particular matchup, Houston at New England, and it's a rematch. Excuse me. And the first time that these two played, it was not even close. And I think you're going to see a different game. You know, I think I'm going to take Houston here in the upset. And I think I'm going with my heart here a little bit more than my head, because I think I want to see Houston win, because I picked them in the beginning of the year. I picked them. I picked Atlanta. You know, will they do it? I'm not sure. They're going to have to bring their A game. But Arian Foster, you know, had a great game. I thought Shaw played well. I thought the defense rose to the occasion last week. And they're all going to have to do it again. Because if they don't, it's going to be another long afternoon with Mr. Brady. So I'm going to pick Houston in that game. I really think that's going to be the game of the week, though. 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. Make sure that you are in the house to watch that one. All right, so we're going to take a very quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have my good friend Jim DeCanalo from Mainline Autographs. We're going to be talking about some autographs and sports memorabilia. Stay with us.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstand10football.com, your national resource for youth and high school football. First and 10 Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
We are back for our second segment today. And as I was saying earlier, we've got a really great following at All Star Inc. of sports memorabilia collectors. Bunch of reasons. One, my background is kind of from there, and that I've been involved in it quite a bit in my life. And then also the fact that we deal with so many different celebrity sports figures from over the years, you know, autographs are what we do in some cases. And then, you know, as far as working in the industry, you know, we're the ones that a lot of times represent the players who are appearing at the different shows. And so we get to make a lot of friends with people out there who are buying the autographs and who are the fans and the ones that are doing the collecting. So a lot of the people who follow us on Facebook or come up and say hi at the shows, they're fans of the company and also fans of sports memorabilia. My guest today, and I'm going to turn to the Voice America hotline now and bring him in. My guest today is a part owner of a company named Mainline Autographs, which has been around for forever. And he's also a good friend of mine, Jim DeCanola. Jim, are you there?
Yes, Bill. How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for coming on today. Hey, just so everybody knows that we're not trying to pull something here, I've known Jim since high school. He and his brothers and I, we all went to high school together, so we're old friends. And when I say old friends, Jim, I mean old friends.
We're both
very old. Anyway, tell me a little bit about the history of Mainline Autographs. I know you guys were collectors way back in the day, but when did you actually decide to take it to be a business?
Well, we started as a hobby, as collectors, and we did our first show in 1980. It was probably just to get some extra money to continue our collecting. We started doing shows probably every third or fourth weekend in the Philadelphia area, and over time expanded from selling cards and sets into the autograph arena, and around 1985, 1986, the 1987 time frame, it became more of a business, and we also gravitated towards the autograph side, and in the late 80s probably just started selling autographs exclusively. And to the day, I mean, we would do anywhere from 20 to 30 shows a year back in the mid-80s into the 90s. And today we probably average about 20 shows a year, 18 to 20 shows a year.
And you mentioned those first shows way back when. I don't know if people out there realize or remember, because we are older than most people. But on the East Coast, the ultimate show was one that was referred to as Fort Washington or Willow Grove. It was Willow Grove before it was Fort Washington. And then before that, it was the Spring Garden Community College. And you know, I think I attended one in 1979 and set up, and I think you guys got in there around 80. And did you do the Willow Grove version, I guess?
Willow Grove your first one? We started in Willow Grove, yes. We never did the Spring Garden one, but we were in Willow Grove. At the time, it was two times a year. There was a wait list to get in, and we actually started doing Willow Grove when they expanded to a third show, and then that enabled us to get into, I believe then they had three shows. They moved from Willow Grove then to Fort Washington, then out to Reading. Right. Bob Schmier sold a few years ago to Hunt Auctions of Exton, and now it's in Valley Forge three times a year.
Right. And back in those days, I remember the way that the tables would be set up. A lot of times it was a bunch of shoe boxes. You know, we didn't have plastic pages or card holders or price guides or books or anything like that. It was kind of flea market-ish at that time.
Yeah, and over time, I mean, those shows were so popular. Actually, the dealer/vendors, even behind our tables, we couldn't even move. You were back to back with the person behind you, and literally, if you were in the middle of the aisle, you had no room to get out. If you needed a break, whether to get a cup of coffee, grab a hot dog, or go to the bathroom, you had to literally crawl under the table to get out.
It's true.
It was on the other side, but
it's true.
Yeah.
When do you think it was that the autograph stuff started taking off? Because it was almost like when you had something autographed, it would decrease the value of the item as opposed to increasing it back in the day. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed like autograph stuff started to take off and become valuable.
Yeah, I think that the autograph shows bringing in guests really began in the New York area, where they would start bringing in some of the old-time Hall of Famers, such as Mickey Mantle. That was probably the early 80s, and we really weren't into autographs in the early 80s. We were collecting them, but to your point, if you got an item autographed, it seemed to decrease the value. But around 84, 85, 86 time frame, it started spreading out of New York into New Jersey. Not to say it wasn't going on the West Coast, but we were more regionalized at the time. And then around 84, 85, started bringing in players. I remember Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, Pete Rose was one of the, I think, first autograph guests to really hit what we called the circuit and be in a different city every weekend. But I think the popularity really came to the forefront in, the 85, 86 era, and has just exploded since then.
I can remember, and I think you did the show with us, but we went to Scranton somewhere, and it was like a converted ice skating rink, and Mickey Mantle was the autograph guest, and they were charging like $15 for Mickey Mantle autographs. And I turned to my wife, I'm like, that's it. We are never paying for autographs. I mean, $15 for Mickey Mantle, that's crazy. And ever since then, it's been just completely amazing how the autograph industry has just exploded.
That's a good phrase, Bill. It's become an industry. Yes.
Yes. To the point now where you've got people out there who charge you to tell you whether your stuff is good or not, and they also will authenticate your items at shows when people were there signing. You know, back in the day, if you had the little receipt from the autograph ticket and you stuck it back in the back of the photo, that was usually good enough. But now you got to get a little sticker that says one of these companies' names, and that seems to be real hot right now.
Yeah, Bill, the authentication process has become a big part of the hobby. I think it serves a good purpose. It helps to educate the new customers coming into the business. I think they've helped get rid of the forgeries, but unfortunately, I think whenever you have autographs, there's always going to be some type of forgeries out there or the potential for forgeries. But I think most importantly with the authentication services that I think it's really important on the higher-end items. Just like if you were going to go out and buy an engagement ring for $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, you want to make sure that's real and it comes with paperwork, and you want to know who you're buying from. And if you're going to spend that much money on an autograph, you want to know who you're buying. I think you need to be educated. You need to know who you're buying from and get references.
Yep.
Just like you would in, using a diamond ring as an example, you wouldn't buy from a guy off the street. You'd go to a reputable business and get recommendations and references.
Yeah, I agree too. And when people come to us and ask us, how do you know something's real? Well, you really don't. And what you got to rely upon is the person that you're buying it from, or people that you're buying it from, or the company that you're buying it from. And you know, unless you physically see the person sign the autograph, there's still always going to be some doubt. But if you can manage to take the risk down as much as you possibly can by buying some from somebody who is legitimate, who's got a great reputation, much like Mainline Autographs, you know, you really gone ahead and knocked out a lot of that potential risk. And I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, also common sense. You know, you see a Babe Ruth autograph out there for $100. Guess what? It's probably not real because it wouldn't be selling for $100. And I'm using an extreme example there, but common sense and dealing with people who you know and trust or who have a great reputation in the business, that's how I tell people to do their purchase. Yes?
Couldn't agree with you more, Bill. Use a phrase, I guess it's an old phrase, but if it's too good to be true.
I understand.
Yep.
How's the internet affected the business? I mean, you guys have a website. What is it, mainlineautographs.com?
Mainlineautographs.com.
Okay.
It's changed the business drastically. I think just like it's changed any retail business over the, let's say the last 10 years. It's hurt show attendance. It's hurt show attendance for different. It's hurt show attendance from a vendor aspect and from a customer aspect. The number of vendors that can literally stay home and do business from their house and sell over the internet. I think in all different industries, it's happened and is continuing to happen. So there's less vendors at shows at some shows, and same thing, less customers. Customers can stay home at the desk on their sofa in front of the TV and shop online as opposed to getting into a car on a cold winter day and paying tolls, paying admission. But at the same time, I think you have the other people that like to do that, that like to go to the shows, that like to see, that don't like to shop online, they like to see the item, like to hold the item. So it has taken a chunk of the business. I wouldn't be able to tell you, you know, overall how big that piece is. But our internet sales off of our website have, in the last couple of years, in the last two or three years, have dramatically increased. So where certain shows may be down a little bit or, you know, staying flat, the internet business is definitely growing.
Yep. I agree. And,
you know,
and
with, not just ourselves, but obviously eBay and third-party auction houses, right. You know, again, have drawn some of the business.
Well, we're running a little bit short on time. I want to make sure we talk about the Pittsburgh show. You guys have acquired the Robert Morris College, Robert Morris University show from the Stogner people, and it's a long time running show. One of my favorites to go to because Wing Suds and Spuds is out there, but people can find out all the information about the Pittsburgh show. What's the date for it, Jim?
May 17th to 19th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the weekend before Memorial Day, and we'll be for the next 5 years that same weekend.
And who do you have as guests so far, Jim?
Right now we have Randy Grossman, four-time Super Bowl champion, Gail Sayers, Football Hall of Famer, and Jack Butler, Football Hall of Famer, along with 1979 World Series champions Tim Foley, along with Jose Lean from the played with the Pirates in the 1990s, and five-time All-Star, a good friend of yours also, Leo Cardenas from the
– Leo Cardenas, there you go. And I know Jim's going to be set up at the Houston show, the TriStar show. Is it TriStar? Yes, TriStar show in a couple weeks. Go to mainlineautographs.com for all that information. We'll also put a link to Jim's stuff on our Facebook pages. Jim, I want to thank you very much for coming on board with us today. One of these days we're going to do a whole show on nothing but memorabilia, and I'm sure you'll be back.
I will look forward to that, Bill.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jim. Stay with us, everybody. We're going to be right back with the great Sam Huff. Don't go anywhere.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete.
In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
We are back for segment number three. This is Bill Mattis. I'm going solo today because Tony couldn't make it. But you guys are in for a lucky, lucky treat here. In our interview segment here in the third segment of our show, we're going to turn back to the Voice America hotline. We've had some really great names on this show, many Hall of Famers and Heisman Trophy winners. But we've got a guy on today that ranks right up among them all. His name is Sam Huff. Sam, are you with us today?
Yeah, I've been holding on, listening to you.
Well, Mr. Huff, you got to wait for something that's good, right? So
radio is good.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a chance to come with us today. Let me just take a second to tell everybody about Sam Huff. If you don't already know, you should know, and you need to know. This guy was a 5-time Pro Bowl selection. He's part of the NFL 1950s All-Decade team. He's one of the 80 greatest Redskins, and he's also in the Redskins Ring of Fame, as well as the Giants, New York Giants Ring of Honor also. Sam was voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1982. He's also a member of the College Football Hall of Fame from when his days at the University of West Virginia. Sam, your resume is probably as good as anybody's out there.
Well, at least it might be a dead heat. You know, it's been a great ride, you know, and my time in New York right after West Virginia University, I was with the New York Giants all those years and everything else, and then, you know, to be in the Hall of Fame is really something special. So I've been very lucky. You know, and a lot of people say, yeah, you've been very good. And I said, yeah, I hit Jim Brown and basically knocked him out. Jim Taylor, I knocked him out, and they tried to run over me. And that's what I did when I played, you know, try to hit them because they were trying to hit me.
Well, you were one of the very first of the big middle linebackers that came into the game. You know, then after you were guys like Nitschke and Butkus and all those other names. You know, you set the tone, I think, for that position.
Well, yeah, you know, because I was in New York after West Virginia University playing with the Giants, and you go up against guys like Jim Brown, Jim Taylor, and Paul Hornung, and the very best of the best. And so as long as you can do that and hang in there and play in New York, it was so wonderful to be able to play in Yankee Stadium and share a locker with Mickey Mantle. And, you know, Howard Cosell. It was just such a great time to be in the world of sports.
Yeah, and you played for some very dominant teams, especially up in New York. Your very first team right out of the chute, right out of college, 1956, was a championship winner.
Yeah, and guess who the coaches were? Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry. How do you can't beat that.
You really can't lose when you got those two guys working it, right?
That's right. Boy, I tell you what, they were just wonderful gentlemen. And you played, and Frank Gifford was there, and Charlie Connolly was there, and Alex Webster, and over on defense, Roosevelt Greer, and in New York, especially at that time, Yankee Stadium was such a great place to play football and share a locker with Mickey Mantle.
Right. Well, and your team, after you won in 56, you went back to the championship game five more times, 58, 59, 61, 62, 63. Unfortunately, you didn't bring a ring back, but you know what? Getting there is still pretty impressive, and to get there as often as you guys did, I would call that a dynasty.
It was. You know, I did not know because I couldn't spell dynasty.
Right.
But, you know, when you would have dinner with Howard Cosell and people from, from radio and television and everything in New York, and, like I say, share a locker with Mickey Mantle at Yankee Stadium was, you know, for a kid that came out of a coal camp in number 9 in West Virginia, and my dad worked in the mines all of his life, I had it made. I'll tell you what, it was just a wonderful time in sports, and I loved every minute of it.
Well, and you made a nice little segue for me there. You mentioned Howard Cosell and radio, and, you know, many people outside the Washington area probably don't know, but Sam is one of the announcers for the Redskin games. And, Sam, following the team this year, you had to be thrilled with the success that these guys were able to achieve.
Well, I give a lot of credit to Mike Shanahan. You know, he came here. And any time you have to make a move in this world of sports that we all live in, there's a lot of changes to be made. And I think Mike Shanahan and Bruce Allen are the two guys fairly new with the Redskins. And I think to go to watch the Redskins play now is something very, very special. And to play at FedEx Field, you know, you're not going to win every game, but I'll tell you one thing, this team will practice and play against just the best of the best. And sometimes you're going to lose, and sometimes most of the time you're going to win. And that's what Shanahan does. And I think he's won over 200 football games, and now he's here. And so I just think that, the Redskins are something special. And to be on the radio and talk about them like we do is special also.
Well, and there's really no reason to think that there's going to be any kind of movement backwards. You know, they got a lot of young guys on that team, including the quarterback, obviously, and the running back, Alfred Morris. There's no reason to think that the Redskins could be good for a bunch of years in a row here.
Well, you know, they're competitive, and that's the thing that you look for, you know, when they're going to play each team in their division at least twice, home and home. Playing against the New York Giants that I was once there is something special, and I never wanted to be traded, but, you know, that's kind of what the National Football League is, and NFL means not for long.
You just never know, right?
You never know. That's right.
Well, Sam and I are friends from a few years back here, and I've helped Sam out with some of his appearance work and worked as his agent in certain situations, and I've gotten to know him and talk to him. And, Sam, when we had a conversation before the season about Robert Griffin III, you were kind of unsure at the time. You know, you were kind of going to say, well, I want to see this guy play. Now that you've seen a whole year of RG3, what's your assessment?
Well, he's a very talented person, and he likes to run with the football. Okay, most guys they'll say in the huddle, don't call my name, because you know you got Sam Huff over there, or you got Chuck Bednarik over there, or big linebackers that's going to hit, and that's what you do. I just think that he hurt his knee. And you could, this game is is dangerous to play, and you got to play the best. And I've watched him play, and he's all heart. I mean, yeah. Most quarterbacks don't want to run with the football, except he does. And
yes.
Whenever you do that, the defensive guys are going to have a good shot at the quarterback and maybe put him out of the game.
And he seems like a nice guy, too. Have you had a chance to spend any time with him?
I really don't, because in order to spend time, you have to be on the coaching staff, you know, at Redskin Park and things. You know a lot of them, but the new generations, and there seems like a big turnover in football now. It wasn't like when I was playing and everything else. You know, you bring in three or four or five guys to practice and everything else to give your quarterback a rest more than anything else. So I'm just saying it's a different game in today's game than when Sonny Jurgensen and myself and Sonny played with the Eagles and I played with the New York Giants before we came here. And now we're partners in the broadcast.
Right. Hey, now that the Redskins are out of the playoffs, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
It's the team that scores the most points.
Come on, you got to pick somebody for me, Sam. Who's the team that most impresses
you? I'm not a gambler. I would rather, you know, I'm not going to the game because unless the Redskins are there, and if they're there, I'm going to be part of the broadcast. And I tell you what, that's great to be part of a broadcast team like Larry Michael and Sonny Jurgensen and Sam Huff and everything else. It's great to be a part of it.
Hey, Sam, where would you say you enjoyed your playing days the most? Was it up in New York or down in Washington?
New York.
There's New York was
like
most
New
fun?
York sports. I shared a locker with Mickey Mantle from Oklahoma.
Right.
And I shared a locker there. There's nothing like Yankee Stadium. I think they moved and tore it down and moved over to New Jersey. But I shared a locker with the Mick, and there was nothing like it. I mean, he was from Oklahoma, and I was from West Virginia. A couple country boys, but, man, I'll tell you what, he could hit that baseball. I saw him hit the baseball at Yankee Stadium, completely over the right field ceiling, out into the highway.
Right.
I mean, that was something. And Whitey Ford and Yogi Berra and all that. That was such a great time in the world of sports.
Tell me about what you're doing with horses these days. I know you do stuff over in Charlestown. So tell me quickly about what you're doing with the horses.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be, around horses, and I was, because my dad and my mother moved out of the coal mining area into a farm, and I, you know, was young then, and I had horses, and I always liked to be around horses because they're a great animal. And so whenever I was traded and moved into Washington, D.C., there was a lot of horsemen, policemen, and everything riding horses. And, you know, Washington is just everything in sports. And so that's how I got involved. And Charlestown is not very far from Washington, D.C., and I was always from West Virginia. And I teed up with Carol Holden, a friend of mine, and everything else, and we got into the horse business. And, We're into it still yet. It's exciting to watch jockeys ride those big horses around and around and around.
And, it sure is.
The one thing I learned about a horse is if you get behind him, he'll kick you.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Whatever you do, Sam, don't do that.
You're right there.
Hey, Sam, I'll tell you what. I think there should be a movie about your life. I mean, growing up in, let's just say, a fairly rural area of West Virginia that didn't really have a whole lot of money and to accomplish what you've accomplished over your career and throughout your high school and college. And,
it's good. It's great that you mentioned that because when it comes into the world of sports and radio and television and everything, I've been a big part of that. And Carol Holden and I put on a lot of the horse racing with the management of Charlestown Racetrack and everything else. And I've always been into horses, and Carol, of course, is she's always into horses. And so whenever you do that, it's a special occasion.
Well, Sam, I want to thank you very much for coming on. I'm going to probably ask you to do it again sometime, maybe down the road, and we'll talk some more football. Sam, thanks very much for taking time out of your day.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Sam. Everybody, okay. Thanks for listening. We're going to go to a break right now. We'll finish up with our last segment, so don't go anyplace.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's out.
Tough shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we
cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Is Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins. If you have a question or comment about our program or about the Tony Collins Foundation, please send an email to tony.collins@allstarincagency.com. That's Tony Collins at allstarincagency.com. Now, back to the show.
We are back for our final segment today. I want to recognize the fact that whenever we do get listener mail, fan mail, whatever you want to call it, because it's not fan mail. But whenever we do get communication from our people out there, I do want to make sure to try to recognize it. Sometimes we don't get to it. I did get a very nice note from a person named Jeanette Anderson, who I think I know who that Jeanette is. And she was complaining about the fact that I bought my wife a vacuum for Christmas. She was joking when I say complaining, but I wanted to give her a shout out and let her know that we appreciate her writing in. Also, Dan Weiberg, who is one of my buddies who plays Stratomatic online baseball for a couple years now. I've gotten to know Danny, and he's a good guy, and he asked that we give the Stratomatic crew a quick shout out because they're listening. So if you're listening, you want a shout out, guess what? I'll reward you. How about that? All right, before we get to the closing of the program, we have our regular segment that's become a fan favorite of many. We're going to go back to the Voice America hotline and bring in Mama Jill. Are you there, Mama Jill?
Good morning, everybody. I've been really enjoying listening to those two folks that you had on.
Did you just use the word folks?
Yeah.
Those two people. Okay, Mom, you're showing your age when you use the word folks.
Well,
don't say folks.
Anything about that.
Well, last week was a little frustrating for me because there was two key games. One was the Seattle-Washington game, and the other one was the Houston and – who they play? Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, Tony lost with the Cincinnati game. We won with the Houston game. I thought for sure it was going to be a cakewalk. Turns out later, after everything's all said and done, you lost Indianapolis. And I wound up losing Washington, and we all wound up 3-1. So we went to the tiebreaker. Tony picked Alabama for his tiebreaker, and they won by 80 or whatever it was against Notre Dame. Might as well have been 80. And so he won the tiebreaker. And I must tell you, he was very happy to hear that he was the winner. And he asked me, even though he knew the answer, you know, hey, who won this week? And I'm like, you did.
You did.
Yeah, yeah. So
it was great. And I was all kinds of happy because going into the game, I'd picked Houston, and that was the largest score. So, yeah, well,
yeah,
so much for that.
Well, this is another week. We all were 3-1, though, so technically we're all tied. I'm just going to keep playing that card. And we'll move on to this week's games. Tony is going to contact us with his picks, and what we'll do is we'll post them up on Facebook. You'll notice that we did a nice job of doing that this weekend. We were updating everybody and keep track of who's doing what and how the chips were falling. And so we got a couple of nice comments about that. Baltimore at Denver. Mom, go for it.
Well, I'm picking Baltimore. I always do my picks a little ahead, and because I do it online too with fantasy. And listening to you in the beginning segment of the show here today, you have blown every one of my picks right out of the water. So, you know, with a little glum face, because you're so good at picks.
God,
anyway,
I got to tell this story. That was just the kiss of death. I'm going 0-4 now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because whenever my mother calls me to tell me that we're doing really well or that, wow, you're 3-0, like, I got the text message right before the Washington-Seattle game. She could go, well, it looks like you're going to win everything. And I'm like, oh, no, there it is, the kiss of death. And sure enough, RG3 started limping right after she texted me. Okay, he was fine for the first quarter, and then all of a sudden, text comes, RG3 starts limping, I lose the game, Tony wins the week. So you're telling everybody that I'm so good at this, it just buried me, I'm sure. So you're taking Baltimore in game one, I'm taking Denver.
Okay.
All right, game two, Green Bay, San Francisco.
Green Bay.
I'm taking San Fran, so it's going to be interesting if nothing else. Seattle at Atlanta.
I'm sticking with Seattle.
No reason why not to.
They pull it out the end of the games, you know?
Hey, you know what? All of these games could go either way. So for somebody to sit there and tell you you're crazy, that's crazy. So I'm taking Atlanta. And then the last one, Houston at New England?
New England.
And I'm taking Houston. So,
yeah,
that's
what I said.
4-4.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and what is your tiebreaker? Which team are you going to pick?
Baltimore.
You didn't think about that, did you?
No. Baltimore.
All right. Well, if you want to change that, you can. But
no,
Baltimore,
that's all right.
We'll put down Baltimore for now. I'm going to put down – I'm going to say Atlanta.
Okay.
It's going to be my tiebreaker. And, all right. We shall find out with Mr. Collins, because that's going to be very interesting. Since we disagree on all 4 games, we'll see what Tony says, and I'm sure he'll have a mixture of something. And you know, we'll make it all happen.
All right.
Well,
I want you to feel better, and I want you to push those fluids.
Oh, I'm trying. 10 minutes after this show is over, I'll be back in bed.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. All right, Mom. Well, thanks very much for coming on, and we will talk to you next week.
Okie doke. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Well, just to wrap things up, this is where we give our little bit of motivational and sometimes spiritual type of talk. And today I want to talk about 2 different words. One is dedication, and the other one is loyalty. And when it comes to sports, and it comes to friendships, and when it comes to your family, you know, dedication and loyalty are the most important things that you can show somebody. And I come from a city here in Philadelphia where a lot of times the fans are great. However, I'm not so sure sometimes how dedicated or loyal they are. And the joke is that Philadelphia has the most tape for ankles from jumping on and off of bandwagons when it comes to their teams. And, you know, I've lived through it. I've seen it. It happens. Not everybody's like that. You have loyal fans. You have people who are dedicated. You know what? University of Pittsburgh. Okay. That's my team. I'm dedicated. If the University of Pittsburgh football team goes 0-12, guess who's there? opening day the next year. That's right, me. Guess who's there even on the 12th game, even if we've gotten beaten by 30 points each and every time? Why? Because I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. Those are my guys. That's the way fans need to be more these days. It just seems to me like too many times people just jump off the ship and start swimming towards the winner. You know, everybody becomes an Alabama fan at the end, or everybody becomes a Notre Dame fan, or everybody now loves the New England Patriots. Not that I'm just using them as an example here, but you get my point. And it goes to other aspects of life. And, you know, the team that we've developed here at All-Star Rink, the team that we've developed here with the show, you know, we all work together. We all pull together. And, you know, trust me, I was watching this really great show called Game of Thrones. And the guy comes up, what's stronger, one or five? And he holds out his fingers and he says, five here, five separate armies. And then he holds out a fist on the left, one united group, you know, the one united group, the people who are together, the ones that work together and play together and live together and love together and die together. They're the ones that are always going to be the strongest. It's the ones who wind up separating and going in their own different directions. They are the ones who are lost. And my suggestion to you is to work that into your kids, you know, make sure that the kids understand. Loyalty and dedication, these are the two things that you really have to drive home to these kids, because then they will do that to their kids and their kids and their kids. And that's really a very, very important part of life that I live by and I will die by, dedication and loyalty. And like I said, I've got one of the most dedicated and loyal teams here at All-Star Inc., and I really appreciate everybody's help. Okay. Just to wrap up, I also want to talk about we have something called a Google Plus Sports Talk community. If you haven't checked it out, you've got to. Okay, it's very cool. If you like sports talk and you're taking the time to listen to me, then you ought to go check this out, because you can go in there and talk about whatever you want. You can go in there basically have a discussion about whatever you want to talk about. And we'll put the link up for it, and we'll make sure that you guys have the ability to find it. But I want you to check it out when you get a chance. I hear that we're already at 1,200 members already, so you'll have lots of people to talk to. Thanks for listening this week. I will be back next week. So will Tony Collins, and hopefully we'll both be 100%. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thanks to our special guests and everybody who helped out, Corinne and Dee and Mama Jill and everybody else. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Tune in to Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Have an encouraging week. Tony and Bill will be back next week for more.